We're going to finish the sermon Project X today, and we'll start a new series. You've been enjoying the Project X? Yes? Oh, thank you. There was only one person. Yes, okay. And we're going to turn to Matthew 25. If you bring your Bible, this is a good time to bring to open your app. Our church has an app. When you go to the app store, Santa Clara First Baptist Church, you download that. There is a sermon note that you can follow us. Okay. So Matthew 25. Now, there are three parables in Matthew 25. The parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins, and then the parable of the talent. And this is the third parable. So we're going to look at the third parable. The parable, the story where Jesus is going to judge the world and judge the nations. And we want to talk about that today. So we will look at four lessons from Matthew 25, from the story of Jesus judging the nations. So what are we going to look for in this story? So you can follow through as I talk about. There are four things that we want to look at. One is that there are two events in this story. What are the two events? The event is that Christ is going to come in his glory with his angels first. The second one is he's going to gather all the nations and judge the nation. Two events, right? Christ is going to come, gather all the nations, and then he'll judge. So two events are going to happen with the coming of Christ. An action will follow. The action is gather the nations and judge them. And two sides. There are two sides, two events, two sides. What are the two sides? The two sides is that the sheep will be on his right and the goats will be on his left. So there will be two sides there. Okay? And two divisions. Right? When all the nations gather, Christ is going to divide the nations into two. The nations into two. And two destinations. And you can be on the wrong side. If you're on the wrong side, you will go to everlasting punishment. If you're on the right side, you will have eternal life. Two destinations. Two events, two sides, two divisions, and two destinations. So we hope we are on the right side this morning, and we're on the right destinations, knowing that these events are going to happen. The story started like this. When the Son of Man come in his glory, it is just explosive, glorious. He started with this. When the Son of Man come in his glory, it's with great certainty. There is no ambiguity about these things. This is the spoken word, the prophetic spoken word of our Lord Jesus Christ that I talked about last Sunday. That this is not a spoken word artist without uncertainty. This is a spoken word prophet with certainty. This is a prophet with the prophetic spoken words that is not going to create a revolution. He is the revolution himself. He is the resurrection. Because he spoke, whatever he has spoken has been fulfilled. And this is something that we have to watch seriously. When you look at the prophetic spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it was fulfilled, when it was fulfilled, will it be fulfilled? There is no doubt about this. He didn't say if. He said when. He said it's a matter of time. When the Son of Man come in his glory with his angels, he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. When I was there in Rainbow Acres, every evening we go and eat with the ranchers in the home. And we just cook, we just eat whatever they cook. There are about 8-9 of them in the house. And after the food, I was sitting on the couch and watching TV, and one of the guys came and asked me, so have you heard about Westboro Baptist Church? And I said, yes, I have heard about Westboro Baptist Church because we are from First Baptist Church, Santa Clara. And he opened the Bible about the son being born blind, whose sin it was. You remember that story? Was it the sin of the parents or whose sin it was? He was going on that line. And he said that the Westboro Baptist Church says that retards are sinners. They are retards because God hates retards. And I am like, whoa, where is this going? And I look at him immediately, and he said, oh, we are retards because God hates us. And maybe it's a little true. And I said, wait, stop right there. He said, it's not even a little true. This is absolutely, there is no truth in that. God loves you as you are. God created you in His image. And it hit home to me that I am enjoying the hospitality of these adults and ate their food and their home, and they welcomed me and they fed me. And at the end of it, he is looking at me because I'm from a Baptist church and wanting to know whether I hate them, whether I think that God hates them, that's why they are who they are. The word, I don't even want to use the word here. We are using, I don't know what kind of word, but they are challenged. And it hit home to me. It hit home to me in a new way that these people are persecuted every day of their lives. They are persecuted every day of their lives just by being who they are. At no fault of them, they are persecuted every day, and they are thinking, what is wrong with me that I am who I am? When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Because Jesus has authority to judge the nations. Jesus has authority to pronounce judgment. And this judgment is based on how we provide service to the least of this. The judgment is going to pronounce on us whether we are on the right side or on the left side, based on our service to the list of this, to the list of my brethren, including the people in Rainbow Acre. That we easily ignore about because our life has so much to do that we don't have time to think about them. I am the least artistic person. I can't paint. My paintings are everywhere. You know, maybe it's like an abstract art. People will say, oh, it's so good, you know, because there's nothing on it, right? Okay? I just do it. Oh, it's so nice. And just, really? My wife doesn't let me paint at home because my painting is splashed everywhere. Honey, don't do it. I'll take care of it. And I'm okay with that, right? But when I went there, the task for Max and I was to paint. Right, and I thought Max was going to help me. Right, he didn't even know how to open the paint. So I said, "Okay, Max, we are in it for a ride." Right, and we paint the parking lot and the handicap area. And as we were painting, it was hot, you know. We had to bend and do it. It looks like a simple job. It wasn't. And as I was painting the handicap sign, then it hit me in my heart that when we go to a store, there are like 2-3 handicapped by the door. And sometimes we complain, why are they handicapped doors here? I want to park it right here. Right? Because it caused inconvenience for us. See? It is inconvenience for us to park 3 parking slots down and to go into the door because 2 handicap space has been taken away for people that are deserving. But for our convenience sake, we push away and we take away from those that are deserving for our convenience sake. And as I was painting there, God spoke to me. See, you wanted to park in the handicap area. No? What about these people? They can hardly walk long distance. Why do you want to take away from them? What about taking care of the list of this? I was so humbled. I was embarrassed. I was so ashamed. No. Because how did God separate the goat and the sheep? Most of the sheep are white and the goats are dark and black sometimes, right? But there's a story of two men on the earth grazing the grass. And one of the goat has grazed so well the grass and eaten all the grass of the field. If you put a sheep and a goat, the goat will overpower and eat all the food. Trample all over and eat whatever he can. He moved faster than the sheep. He grazed all over, well over, trampled well over. But who was the one that helps the least of this? It was the sheep that didn't have much. It wasn't the goat that helped. It wasn't this guy like the goat who had trampled well, who had lots of opportunity, who have gone out everywhere, succeeded, went ahead of every people, break glass ceiling, open so many doors for him or for herself, and has made a lot for herself, for himself. But he was the one, the sheep, that helped the least of this. You see where Christ was taking, why he was taking the goat and the sheep. He didn't do it by accident. He's saying, you guys are grabbing for yourself. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and loses your own soul? You are grabbing, grabbing, grabbing. When the least are hungry, when the least are thirsty, when the least are naked, when the least are sick, when the least are in prison, you are grabbing, grabbing, and selling your soul off. But there are sheep that are taking care of the hungry, the naked, and that are sick, that are in prison. And he's saying this service is directly related to who should go on the right and on the left. Because the Son of Man is going to come in his glory. That is for sure. The Son of Man is going to come in his glory. The king will say to this on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus prepared heaven for his followers, and Jesus will share his Father's blessing with his followers. As I was on a plane, I was reading the Bible, and I went to Leviticus. You know, I said, let me read Leviticus. Sounds very interesting. Let me go to Leviticus. And I read, and then I came to Leviticus chapter 19. And when you read verse 9 and 10, it talks about here, when you harvest the field, leave a portion of the corner of the field, do not harvest it. Right? And you shall not clean the harvest. Cleaning is picking up every leftover. You will not clean your harvesting. And then don't pick up all the grapes. Leave those grapes. Say, why would you do that? Why would God say such a thing to his people and say, leave those for the poor and sojourners? This is God's idea. To say, when you harvest, don't harvest all the field. The corner, leave it for people. If there is grain fallen in the harvesting, you cannot clean. When the grapes are fallen, the fruits are fallen, don't pick it up from the ground, leave it there. For whom? For the poor. I was reading in Leviticus 19 and thinking, okay, God has such idea from before. This is not our idea of taking care of the poor. He is way ahead of us. There is one agreement in New Testament and Old Testament. You know what is that? It's taking care of the poor. There is no contradiction in both Old Testament and New Testament is to take care of the poor. It is there. It is there. And he prepared heaven for his followers who take care of one of these, my brethren. Jesus will share his Father's blessing with his followers. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you? Inasmuch as you did the one of the least of this, my brethren, you did it to me. You did it to me. When did we see you?" No, you did not see me. But daily, day by day, when you live like Christ, like me, and have compassion and care, just as I do for the poor and the lost and the weak, you did it to me. You did it to me. Our problem seems to be so much that there's no room for others in our lives. There's no room for others in our lives. Every day we have a to-do list, and that does not include others. When we help other people, it is by accident. It is by chance. We didn't go out to help people. That's not our normal thing. Christ wants us to be our normal life. That is part of us. As I was preparing this sermon, I remember my dad. You know, my dad passed away when I was 11. But around 9, 10, he had a great sermon on about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can remember him saying, and my uncle used to play that sermon quite a bit, so it had been ingrained, embedded within my soul and spirit. And he'd say, "There will be a day two men will be walking on the field. One will be taken and one will be left behind. There will be two men grinding, and one will be taken and one will be left behind." I said, "What is this? Why would God take one and left behind one? Why will God take one man and leave behind another woman? You know, why can't he just take two of them?" And then I realized that is based on our service. That the follower of Jesus Christ, on how we relate to other people. See, God is separating already in those stories. That is in Matthew 24, the previous chapter. Right before the three parables of the virgin and the talent, there is, in 24, reading from 33 to 40 onwards, you can see that story that people are left behind. So, serving my brethren is serving Christ. Serving the least is serving the mightiest. There is a lot of debate and theological disagreement even on these parables. Okay, let me share a little bit of that and put you in perspective. Now, do a Jewish reader, they will say that, oh, there are three characters here. One is the sheep, the goat, and my brethren. Right? So three characters are there. Who are the sheep? Who are the goats? Who are the brethren? And to a Jewish reader, they say, no, these are not Gentiles. These are not new converts. The sheep, the goats, these are holy animals that are used in sacrifice. If you read from Leviticus, as I was reading, you offer a sheep or a goat, whether it is for peace offering, whether it is for sin offering, you offer a sheep or a goat. These are clean animals. So they will say that, oh, these are talking to the Jew. The Jews that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jew that doesn't follow the Lord Jesus. Christ was talking to the Jew. And he said, if you help the Jew, you are supposed to help the Jew. That is from a Jewish perspective. And there is another from non-Jewish to say, okay, the sheep and the goat, the Gentiles that are saved, because he said, gather all the nations. The word ethne in Greek is Gentiles also. It's not the universe. So they will take ethno, which is nations, and say, these are the Gentiles that were saved that followed the Lord, and they were not saved. So if we take care of one of our brothers and sisters as in the family of God, God is expecting us to do this. Just like it's written in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, if you have the opportunity, especially to the believer, to the household of God, do good things to them. Do not be wary of doing good to others. It's especially to the household of believers. If you have opportunity, do good. So they will say, this is for believers, not just taking care of the poor or the weak from out there, but inside the house of God. That we take care of one another. It's a good thought too, right? But Christ is the Lord of the universe. I believe that he has the authority on everybody. And it is not impossible from what we believe and what we read in the scripture that he has every right and authority to call all nations, including the Jews and the Gentiles, and to judge them on the last day. That's what I believe. This is not just secluded, exclude, and other people are excluded. This is not just for the Gentiles. This judgment is not for the Gentiles only. This judgment is not only for the Jews. It's for the whole world, for the whole nations. And he's going to judge. And on that day, at that door, he's going to stand there and tap the sheep into the right place. Tap the goat in where they need to go. As the shepherd that divides the sheep and the goat. So, serving my brethren, serving our brothers and sisters, is serving Christ. And in the eye of God, what happened is serving the least become the mightiest things. Serving the least matters to God. It matters a lot to Jesus Christ. In fact, this is one of the yardsticks to go into the kingdom of God. That we have believed Christ as the Savior and Lord, but our action of taking care of the least is what ushers us into. We are supposed to live like Christ. And the other guys on the goat, they say, inasmuch, when did we see you? That's what the goats, the unrighteous, asked. When did we see you? Inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Ignoring the least of his people is ignoring the Lord. And that is followed by everlasting punishment or eternal life. This is a reality, church. This is a reality. As you sit here this morning, Christ is going to come. He is going to come. Whether you like it or not, he is going to come like a thief in the night. And if you're like the five foolish virgins that have not prepared because they didn't have the oil in the lamp, you're going to miss the bridegroom. And if you're like the one that hit the talent because he said, oh, I'm so afraid because you're a hard taskmaster and you didn't use your talents, it's going to follow. The consequences is going to follow. And if you're like the goat that trampled everywhere, ate all the grass, take every opportunity to yourself and do nothing for other people, there will be consequences too. And Christ wants us to take care of the least. To take care of the poor and the weak. This week, it hits home to me by a brother who fed me, who welcomed me in his house and said, maybe I am who I am because God hates me. What do you think about that? Do you have room for others in your heart? The others in your heart. The others may look like me. The others may look like others that are sitting here. We all look very different. There are 32 nations in our church. Things are happening in this country. As brothers and sisters that worship the Lord Jesus Christ, look out for one another. Reach out for one another. You may be in a better place, in a stronger place than others. The position may reverse, but for now, who are stronger? Look out for the weaker one in this house, in this church. Look out for the one that are afraid. Reach out to them. Look out for those who are marginalized and outcast. Look out for them. Let them not feel bad stuff and bad things are happening in their life because God hates them. Every one of us are created in the image of God. We should see heaven in the eyes of everyone. We should see heaven in the eyes of everyone. And our actions should follow that we lead them, position them on the path to go to the kingdom of God, that when Jesus comes, for sure, with certainty in his glory, we have made ready our friends, the others, to enter the kingdom of God. At the end of it, that is what matters. That is what matters. It matters that we lead somebody into the kingdom of God. That is what matters. That we lead someone into the kingdom of God, because Christ is going to come again. Let us put this in our heart as the worship team comes up. Lead us into worship. Check our heart where we stand with the others. Can we bow our head and pray? Let the Holy Spirit of God minister to you. Are we ignoring the list of his people? Or are we serving the list of my brethren? We are a church, a house of prayer for all nations and of all nations. We want to be true to the word of God, not just saying it, but in the way how we lived out in this valley. So may the Spirit of God help us to do that. Because Christ lived among the list of this, the weary and the weak, those who have tragic things happen in their life, those who have all kinds of needs. Even when we were dead in sin, he gave us life. He gave us life. Let's stand on our feet. And before we sing this song, just think about Christ living in us, living with us, that he did not ignore us, that he did not look down on us, that he did not call us names, but he loved us just as we are.